Mike and Vianna, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Vianna, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RHAP B&B. I am your co-host, Liana Boris, and fear not, Mike Bloom could not be with us this week, but he is on the voicemails. He's over taking his own vacation to the mothership, if you will. But we have a wonderful panel here for you today. My co-host, you have heard him previously on the RHAP B&B and Survivor voicemails last season. It is our head writer, Paul Osleson. Paul, how are you doing?
Good. I've been praying to my mama all week, getting ready for this. I hope that the theme song was edited so it could say, you know, Paul and Liana are playing some game.
Yeah, we'll have to ask for a new edited version. Actually, it's funny. So I that when Will from America, which shout out to Will for our amazing theme song, he sent us the version. I have it on my phone and every once in a while it pops up. And I don't know if this is super narcissistic of myself to like chill out to my own theme song, but it's a lot of fun. Okay,
no, actually,
but I don't want to.
And I'm not even in the theme song, so.
See, well, you might
no
be
judgment.
This week. Right. Or you can just, whenever you hear the theme song, you can just sing over it.
Right, so it's like Mike, one syllable, yeah. Mike, Paul, so it's just really yeah. Paul and Liana.
You just yell very loudly. Okay, but I don't want to bury the lead. Our guest this week is none other than my fellow So You Think You Can podcast competitor and Big Brother morning updater, Pooya Zanvakili. Pooya, welcome back to the B&B.
Thank you. It's a great time to be back. Also, I have to correct you. It's the B&A once again that I'm back on. So I'm very excited for the B&A, which, Will, if you're listening, edit, put A over B on this episode specifically. I'm just happy. I was happy to be back with you guys. There's much redemption to be made. I don't know if we're going to see Krampus again. I don't know if Paul's going to come in with a Mike Bloom impersonation. I'm just excited to see what happens.
Well, good. We're excited for your excitement. And yes, we will. We'll be editing the sign for this week. It's the BAs, you know, the badasses up in here.
Yes.
For the B&B. Well, Pooya, we've already gotten your Survivor origin story, which you Benjamin Button the seasons, right? Like you watch them backwards.
That is correct. I made my way backwards to the beginnings.
Okay, well, yeah. We want to get your thoughts on Ghost Island, which obviously based on that, I'm assuming you have watched this season actually backwards. So,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so upon finding out that I'm going to be doing this, I went from the latest episode all the way to the first mm-hmm. episode. No, that would be insane. I did not do it that
great
way.
Great use of time.
Yeah. So my thoughts on this season as a whole. So actually, Leon, I'm glad to be talking about this with you here. So, as everyone remembers, with All Stars 3 of RuPaul wrapping up, everyone was frustrated. It had ended in a sour note, but we were happy season 10 was coming about. I feel like with Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, it was the same note, where everyone was frustrated with the ending. We wanted to put it behind us, start this new season. We started getting excited. And overall, I've had a positive experience watching this season. I feel like it was a new theme they introduced, they added in. I felt like more than other seasons, perhaps, the theme was intriguing to me. And there was a lot they could stand to gain from it, bringing back these previous twists and previous curses, however you want to title them. I was very, very excited for this to come around. And overall, it's been good. There's been moments where obviously it's been a little ho-hum. But I think ultimately I had a good time watching it, especially this last episode was very, very fun for me.
Well, Paul, you were able to join us on our preseason podcast. How do you think this season has held up? Do you share the same viewpoints?
I mean, I think there's a lot of good in it in that I think there's nothing really that I can hate on it too much for. But I mean, I definitely do get all the critiques and the criticism out there. So maybe throughout this episode, a few things will come up that I think, okay, I think this was a good like medium, and how could the show be better? How can we improve this going forward? But I think the fact that the cast is so solid is really what has held up the season and made it, you know, fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think that the cast has been really strong. And I think sort of to go back, Puya, to your point about putting it in the context of sort of ending Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, I think we were all really pumped for Ghost Island, but I've definitely have heard a lot of critiques about sort of the end of this season because it's been a little lackluster and almost the great cast that we have hasn't been able to sort of potentially combat against that. But I don't know. I actually really loved this episode in particular. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought there was actually a lot of gameplay to talk about, which I know we're a Survivor Fun and Games podcast, but I think we'll get into some of the strategy on this episode. So I guess, Puya, like, what did you think about this episode in particular that I know you watched first, but maybe you can still talk about it?
Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed this episode. I feel like to the naked eye upon the first watch, maybe not a lot may have been going on. But on my second watch, I definitely noticed a lot more. Everyone was trying to make some move in any which way. Sebastian finds his, you know, gets his advantage, which 3 out of 4 is amazing odds. I just have to put that out there. 75%, like, you knew he was getting something. And I think one of the main criticisms that'll fall in early on with that reveal was the fact that I feel like a lot of people, when they heard about Ghost Island, were expecting more of a history lesson a little bit, you know, a little bit of historians going to like further back seasons for the advantages. Whereas I feel like it's been more leaning towards the recent seasons, like Game Changers, Koh Rong,
Ghost Island,
even Ghost Island,
even Ghost Island. Yeah. So we've been seeing those come more into the forefront, which has not been as good, but, I definitely enjoyed watching Laurel this episode kind of battle her, you know, decisions of whether I should take a hit, go after them, or just lay back. Jonathan just spiraling out of control, deciding he needs to jump ship now and now only. It was just a lot. And it's amazing on the rewatch watching back and looking at how calm Dominic and Wendell are in this situation of handling all these people, all these variables, and pretty much getting the exact outcome they wanted, regardless of what was going on.
It really felt to me like, back in Survivor, when we always would go into the finale with 4 people, and that penultimate episode had 5 people in it, and so you really kind of got in the heads of the final people left in the game. It was kind of like that, like minus 2 people, like Angel and Sebastian, not so much. We really were focusing on like the 5 people that actually, you know, have something to do with the outcome of this game, but really kind of that, you know, how much time we got to spend with those people and kind of really think about each one of their moves. I thought that was reminiscent to me of some of the older days of Survivor heading into the finale.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what's been the sort of the whole theme of this season is, since it's been really unbalanced, you've gotten to see a lot of specific people and pretty much nothing of other people on this season.
Hey,
I mean,
Angela sat on that bench.
Oh, my gosh. And my favorite. I was all about Angela this episode, because I love the fact that, one, she doesn't even get to participate in the reward challenge. And then, two, I don't think I've ever heard Jeff Probst say like somebody is completely out of a challenge.
Well, what was so bad was I was rewatching it this morning before we podcasted. And after the reward challenge, when Jeff has Laurel, Wendell and Dominic up by him, and then the other 3 are standing waiting to be picked, I'm like, wait, there's only 6? And I was like, no, I thought there was, and I was like, went through like a good 15 seconds of, wait, like, I thought there were 7 people this episode. And then it like dawned on me, oh yeah, I just saw 5 minutes ago when Angela was sitting on the bench, and I literally forgot that she's still in the game.
Yeah, exactly. I think I tweeted about this, but it was like Angela found the advantage used by Chelsea, the purple edit advantage.
Really.
And all of a sudden, but yeah, oh my gosh, just the Angela. There were just so many great Probst quotes about Angela, like Angela all alone, dead last. Just, oh my God, that sucked. But actually, Puya, I wanted to go to your point about the advantages, the fact that so many of them are like coming from Game Changers. And then the fact that we actually had something come back from Ghost Island. Like, Paul, what did you think about the fact that we actually had something come back that was already played on the season?
I mean, at this point, it's fun. I mean, I think that our hopes are kind of been like smashed of how great Ghost Island is going to be, and we kind of have like understood, okay, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. So the fact that they could actually like, hey, we're gonna kind of like make fun of ourselves here a little bit and say like Ghost Island is so on the nose of things that, you know, some things take 10 years to evolve on whatever age on Ghost Island. Oh, but sometimes they can just come back 2 episodes later because it's really convenient. So I think at this point it was fine.
I actually really loved this. I love this concept because I think a lot of people actually made jokes about it, you know, yes. That like, oh, if you misplace something and then what if it comes back on its own season? And sure enough, it does. I just feel like eventually you're going to run out of space on that piece of paper. But I guess the Legacy Advantage has the same issue. So we'll see.
Yes.
We'll see how it plays out. Yeah. And I feel like the one thing I did really enjoy about this, first of all, the shock value, because I didn't see it coming. But then also the fact that I feel like a lot of people were like, well, are these predetermined? You know, you always have your skeptics thinking, well, do they have to go to this specific urn? Like, is there a specific kind of advantage at this level of the game? The fact that this turned around within 2 episodes of itself shows that no, there's really no planning going into this. It's kind of like completely random as to what's going to happen.
Yeah, next. I think you're doubting the spiritual knowledge of Ghost Island and all of its powers. Oh. And it's all and it's
self-aware.
All, yes, it knew that the whole time. No, I was just thinking with, you know, running out of space on that piece of parchment, they're going to have to provide some Ghost Island whiteout here pretty soon.
It's been maturing on Ghost Island. You can now use it to erase the vote.
Now you have to white it out at the voting booth. So you need to make sure that you know, coat it on and dry it and fan it out a little bit before you start writing over the top of it. I think that could add for some exciting moments.
Okay, so actually, speaking of Ghost Island, I noticed this during this episode in particular. It stood out to me. Has Ghost Island always been sold as a reward? Because I feel like in the beginning of the season, it was a punishment. But when Jeff was talking about the reward challenge, and it was like, oh, the person who was on the sit-out bench like doesn't even get to participate in the reward challenge, and they have no shot at Ghost Island. Like, Ghost Island is some
Again,
amazing
Liana,
thing.
Liana, self-aware. It's learning.
Right. It's learning.
Yeah. Yeah, to your point, I feel like initially it was sold as a punishment. I'm just glad the show realized that it's more of an advantage at this point, given that you have a shot, 75% shot of getting an right. advantage to start, and then the all-you-can-eat rice. I feel like you can't go wrong with all-you-can-eat rice. It's a good win-win there.
I still think my favorite Ghost Island moment where it was just like when Wendell went to Ghost Island and he was just guaranteed something. Ghost Island's just like, ah, screw it, like, whatever. Just give out something.
What never get old to me are just the jokes that people make about random things that have matured on Ghost Island. Like, I really wish they would go all out with it. Like, the rice you're eating is the rice that Jatia dumped in the fire, and now it's been maturing, and, you know, it's a never-ending supply. Like, I mean, at this point, just go with it. Like, go over the top with all this stuff.
Yeah, like, this is the pool noodle that Dominic and Wendell and Laurel handed out to the Fijian children. It's been maturing on Ghost Island, and now you can use it as a flotation device in the challenge. I don't know, something like that. Actually, I did have one final question about Ghost Island, and Puya, maybe you can answer this for me. There are 5 of those little chalice cylinder things left that you yes. can break on Ghost Island. Are we going to actually see all of them be broken?
I don't know, because I feel like the completionist in me thinks like we have to know what's under them, right? Like, I need to know mm-hmm. what's under them. So let's assume like 3 of them are no game for you, right? And then 2 of them, one is something somewhat significant. And then the other one is like you get, again, going back to our last episode we did together, you get an extra strip of bacon at the breakfast in the final 3. So I just need to know what it is. I don't think we're going to see it, but I just really need to know what's under them.
Yeah, well,
so I hope we find out.
I don't know for sure we're going to actually get them all broken, but you would think that they will end the season some way on Ghost Island. Every time there's been an Exile Island, they've almost always concluded the season there, whether that's where they go, you know, during the Torch Walk or the final immunity challenge. Maybe there will be something that the season culminates on Ghost Island, and that's the final urn that gets broken and one person wins, you know, an advantage in the final challenge or the extra bacon that Puya was talking about. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll incorporate it in some way, or maybe Ghost Island still has a lot to learn.
I like to think that maybe Ghost Island turns into Oprah and it's just like, you get an advantage and you get an advantage.
You smash an urn. You smash an urn. You smash an urn.
No game for you. 85% chance of winning for you. Okay, well, I'm sure we'll get into more about this episode as we move further in the show, but let's get to our preseason predictions, aka the Liana wins game. which I'm a huge fan of. So Mike obviously is not with us today, but Paul has Mike's prediction. And so, Paul, would you please read what Mike had written for Kellen in the preseason?
Perhaps my reading it for Mike will be the thing that pushes him over the edge.
The true game changer.
I haven't read this. This thing is long, so I'm going to guess. I haven't read this yet, but I'm guessing this is going to be a little too specific.
Of course.
So, and I'm going to, you know, I thought about pulling out the Mike Bloom impression, but in order, I kind of really want to help my friend out here and really really get him to win. So I'm going to read it like me. So maybe that'll help here. So here is Mike Bloom's Kellen prediction. Kellen will run the challenges with her middle of the pack mentality, while excelling back at camp with her hard work ethic and empathetic spirit. Indeed, she'll almost serve as a therapist as the Navidi tribe members continue to get fussy with each other. But due to her role, nobody will be yelling at Kellen. Okay, Mike. Any question of getting rid of her due to not being the strongest gets curtailed by the winning streak her tribe goes on, taking her into the merge. Once that happens, she begins to mold and shape her connections, forming a trinity between herself, Desiree, and Morgan. From then on, she'll help run the game, utilizing the elements her allies found on Ghost Island, since Kellen unfortunately was not able to find any when she was sent there. She reaches the final three, but is seen as the less likable of the pair between her and Morgan, with several jurors angry at the way she utilized her relationships, and then promptly did away with them. Sorry, I'm running out of breath here. We're almost
done. I actually went and got some water, so I missed half of that.
Sorry, we're almost done. You got this, you guys. Endurance challenge. You can do this.
Yes.
At the end of the day, while empathy
is
her super...
Wait, you're not done?
No, no. Seriously, is more. God. Hold on. We're almost there. Finish line. At the end of the day, while empathy is her superpower, winning during votes may not be, and the comparison she made of herself to Aubrey holds up when she finishes as runner-up.
Wow.
That's the finale. As if that wasn't clear.
Yeah, right. Well, Mike Bloom, you sure are a mouthful.
Mike, it's like all you right. want to lose these. It's like you went into this throwing this. Are you throwing these challenges for some reason?
Yeah, maybe he is. I don't know. Apparently the word count requirement was...
does he have some crazy endgame strategy here that he's, you know, taking this now and then come the finale, he's going to whip it all out and have everything mapped out?
Yeah, this is like some next level strategy that's going on right now.
Yeah, we'll see when Morgan wins next week.
Right. Okay, so Mike had Kellen making the final three and actually coming in second place. I, on the other hand, had Kellen making the jury. And this is what I wrote for Kellen. While Kellen may not seem like your typical merge boot, remember, we live in a game-changing era, and Ghost Island has some tricks up its metaphorical sleeve. Okay, Google, set a reminder to research if ghosts have sleeves. Where was I? Right. Kellen was safely in the majority come the merge with the Ghost of Patrick's alliance on the outs.
Oh, my God.
But in an oh, my God, it's never before seen twisted twist that's the most twistedest results in Kellen going home. I am understandably upset as Kellen reminds me of me.
Aww.
So I have a new rule for next season. Anytime Liana mentions the Ghost of Patrick, you automatically lose. That's my proposal.
That'll guarantee Mike the win.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The only way he'll win. Okay, so Puya, it is up to you to decide whether Mike, as read by Paul, or myself had the more accurate prediction.
Okay, so two things. First of all, Paul, I think if you had done the Mike impression, at least we would have had some laughs. Mike, I don't know what you've been doing this season, man. I've been listening to all of these all the way to here. And Mike just really, really shot for the stars this season. Yeah. You know, he thought, I'm just going to put some bold ass predictions out there and then a couple will hit, a couple will be wrong, but it'll be fun. And they have been fun to listen to. But my God, did he go out of his way to be wrong? Just simply looking at Liana having Kellen a jury and then second place finish for Kellen from Mike. Liana, congratulations. Your sweep continues.
Hooray!
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Well done, me. What is that saying where it's if you shoot for the moon, you'll land among the stars or something like that?
Yeah, not so much in this case, but yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Well, I think I've heard that, but then it's like, yeah, but you're still stuck in space or something like that. So that's Mike is just out there floating in space.
Yeah, I was wondering maybe if he had been rewatching like Survivor Amazon recently or something, got really inspired by Butch's Believe in Yourself, you can do anything you want.
I have a theory now, because I feel like, Liana, your predictions last season were a little bit like this, where you went bold with the Patrick's Alliance, which you're still doing. But then Mike took that and doubled it, doubled down and made it even bigger. Mm-hmm. So now next season, Mike's going to have a complete 24 pack of beer or two bottles of wine before he does these. So I'm excited for the season 37 ones to come as well, to see how he does there.
Raunchy, yeah. Mike Naughty, Mike Bloom. I can't wait.
He is a man whore. Well, because he just like man doubles whore. Down on anything that I do. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be fun to see if it's actually coherent. Yeah. Okay, so I continue my winning streak. Thank you, me. Well done, me.
Do you win anything, Liana? Does Mike have to send you a bottle of wine for the next season? Or have you guys, are there any stakes at all on this game?
He should supply the next boost.
I think so.
Yeah, I am just realizing the mistake I've made, which is not securing some sort of prize for winning. Okay, well, I'll put that down on my list of things to do. You guys can help me. Okay, what should I get? Okay, so a bottle of wine. What else? Wine. What other things do you think you should get me?
He should get you the magazine clippings. He should send those to you from the Price is Rourke.
Yeah, that's not creepy.
The first thing that popped in my head was a pool noodle. I don't know why.
Yeah, but the one that's been maturing on the Fijian Isle.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like it's worth more. Okay, well, we'll figure that out. So, Puya, what is the discussion question that you've brought for us to talk about today?
Okay, so since we're at the penultimate episode and we're about to, you know, close this season off, I had an observation I made, and I'd like to know what you guys think, which direction Survivor is going to go with this. So Survivor Season 27 was Blood Water. 29 was Blood Water. 28 was Brain Brawn Beauty. 32 was the same. Ghost Island is Season 36. How long do you think until we see Ghost Island 2? And do we think it's going to come before the likes of Millennials Gen X 2 or before the likes of Heroes Hustlers Healers 2?
Okay, well, I have a thought on this right away, and I've thought about these things before, and like, as you bring that up, it kind of makes me sad that we struck such gold with Blood versus Water, and then they backed off of it so fast because they were, you know, unhappy, I guess, with San Juan del Sur. It kind of makes me sad that we try these things out and then just kind of leave them for a long time. I think because Ghost Island is more of like just an element in the game, yes, the season's named after it, I think it's going to play a little bit differently. I think we're more likely to see, I can see it either being like that we're going to see one of these themes repeated again, like the Generation Wars again type thing, or the Healers. I think that's probably the most likely, that we'll get a cast that will divide into the Healers, Hustlers, and that kind of stuff. I think that's more likely. But I also would not be totally shocked if Ghost Island makes its way in the next couple seasons either. So I think it could kind of be a combination of both. They're going to go hand in hand because they can fit together now.
Oh, right. So sort of do like a mashup of the two themes for the season, like do a Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. But then on top of that, overlay sort of the Ghost Island twist, like we saw with Exile Island.
Because you had like, you know, season 12 was Panama Exile Island, and then season 13 is Cook Island's Race Wars. But we also have Exile Island, too. You know, it just, I think it's an element in the game that could stick around if the show believes in it. And you can mix that with past casting twists.
Okay, here's what I think. Since the Survivor producers have abandoned Blood versus Water, Blood versus Water has been maturing on Ghost Island. So we have Heroes, we have Blood Water come back, but within Blood Water, they're separated into Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, and it's Ghost Island. It's like a mind blowing mashup of all of the themes.
Liana, I was very nervous when I'm hearing you saying Blood versus Water. I know you and your 69 jokes. And you're talking, I'm thinking about these bodily fluids that are going to be maturing. I was like, where is this going to go? No, Liana, no, put the wine bottle down.
That's where the Survivor babies come in. Oh my God. Okay, go out to Ghost Island, make some Survivor Ghost Island babies. And then the next season is Survivor babies. Ghost Island baby edition.
Babies and it's are actually nice. Idols.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Okay. So, oh God, this is just so great. Now I have this mental image of somebody like, okay, so you know how Wendell has the whole necklace, like Eric's immunity necklace? Can you imagine a whole baby? Like, it's crying. Jeff, I'd like to play this baby. Oh no. What if it's fake?
This description is not gonna come across on a podcast very well, but I laughed so hard at it that Mario Lanza had posted in some Facebook group or something. I have no idea where he got this photo, but it was like this photo of this woman in China, and it was clearly kind of like a stage photo to be funny, but it was this huge, like, like statue, and it kind of looked like a, it could be like a huge immunity idol if you really kind of like, you know, stretch your thinking a little bit. But then this woman was had it made it look like this statue was grabbing her by the hair, and she had this face, like this look on her face, like she was screaming in pain. And Mario just posted that in like something about like in China, or maybe it was in Russia, in Soviet Russia.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's actually that's Urban Legend Island, where it's like the Chupacabra and the Loch Ness Monster. Oh, and they like hunt you down. Bigfoot. Or something. Bigfoot. Yeah, I don't know.
D.B. Cooper.
Bigfoot versus D.B. Cooper. Yeah. So speaking of things that are larger versions of themselves. So this reward challenge was like a big version of the sort of the drop the ball challenge, which I think mm-hmm. we heard for or saw for the first time in was it Token Chains, I think?
I think so.
But I just like this concept of like really large Survivor challenges. Like maybe I was just inspired by Dan Limbo, like sitting on the giant chair.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to think. I think it would be really funny if we just made like giant versions of Survivor challenges. I know that I don't know if you have any ideas, but that's something that popped in my head.
I think that'd be fun. My first immediate idea is, you know, the challenge where they have to use their feet to make a little pillar. They have to use their feet to make towers now, full on sets. So the reward challenge is they need to use their feet to put together the immunity challenge setup for later.
I'm just imagining those like 4-foot by 4-foot boxes, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But it's like a team challenge. So they all have to use exactly. their feet to lift it.
Yeah, and they have to like crab, like use their hands as crabbing, like make their way with the big boxes to the setup. It'll be lovely.
Yeah, I have a feeling like that's not going to go over well. Maybe we'll probably get Ghost Island too before we get that. Okay, so let's dive into our first game this week. So this is actually based off of a game, Puya, that you played when you were here last time with us. It is the anagram game, or Survivor Scramble, where for each question, I'm going to read off an anagram of a Survivor contestant's name from this season of Survivor. So both first and last name. And the way that we'll do this game is it's the first to buzz in with the correct answer. So you're going to need a buzz in sound. So Puya, Ooh. Do you have any ideas for what your buzz in sound might be?
Actually, yeah. Can I first ask you and Paul a question beforehand?
I suppose
we allow it.
Okay. Okay, good. So have you guys seen the whole Laurel and Yanni situation that's been going on this past week on the internet?
Yes,
and it's Laurel.
I am on social media.
What are you guys hearing? What word are you guys hearing?
I hear Laurel.
Maybe it's the Survivor fan in me.
Wow, I hear Yanni. Okay, how about this, Paul? How about this? Your call out is Laurel, my call out is Yanni.
Okay, that's a good call because I was very afraid that it's going to have to be Krampus and my voice was going to be shot from going too much. So I like the Laurel idea.
Yeah. If it wasn't this idea, I would have done an ode to Leon and gone with 69. So it works out perfect.
So I'm Laurel, you're Yanni. Okay.
That's for Survivor Ghost Island 2 baby edition. Okay. So just to give an example, we talked about this last time, but if you rearrange the letters in a Mike Bloom type, you get Mop Like Meat Boy, which yes. I still love and I'd forgotten was a thing and I wanted to bring it back. But I actually did a couple other anagrams of a Mike Bloom type. You can also get Yep, Akimbo Motel.
Ooh, I love those.
or a Milky Beep Moot.
Oh my god.
Which I don't know what that means, but for those of you who are listening, please just tweet at Mike Bloom with no context. Mop Like Me Boy, Yep, Akimbo Motel, or a Milky Beep Moot. That would be much appreciated.
Yes, please do it. Please do it.
Okay, so let's get into our game. The very first anagram I have for you is a backbite demon.
A backbite demon.
Yes, a backbite demon. Wow. Buzz in when you have the correct answer. We think you have the correct answer. Well, now.
Yanni.
Yes, Puya.
Dominic Abate.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, okay.
Because, all right, warming up. You can also rearrange Dominic's name to get back on a bedtime or be back, Dominate, which is one of my favorites.
Damn, Dominic.
Okay, so the next anagram we have is Chiselborn. Chiselborn.
Laurel.
Well, first of all, Paul, you did. Sorry, I was like,
that's
you didn't call
it.
I know. Okay, that's my bad. That's 1,000% my bad. Okay, yes, Paul.
Is it Michael Jurger?
No, that is incorrect. Puya, you have 3 seconds to steal.
Oh, I have 3 seconds to steal.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Chelsea.
That is incorrect. It was Chris Noble.
Oh,
he is truly Chiselborn. His rapping is Chiselborn.
This game is not as fun if I'm not the one like torturing the other two contestants. Like,
yeah,
to think I'm like, this isn't my thing.
I know. Sorry, you actually had to use your brain this time, which is really not a requirement on the B&B. But
we all know that, Liana. We all know that.
Right. That's how I won the predictions this season. Okay, our next anagram is Hope Ninja Hotness.
Ninja Hotness.
Hope Ninja Hotness. This is a contestant from this season.
I'm like, who has
Hope Ninja Hotness? If I say it,
Yanni.
Yes. Booyah.
Stephanie Johnson.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, I was like, who has a Thank J you. In their name? Oh, dang it.
It is, yes, Stephanie Johnson's, it's actually the name of her new movie, Hope, Ninja Hotness.
Ninja Hotness. I
can
see that.
Okay, our next anagram is Smile Jam.
Laurel.
Yes, Paul.
James Lim.
Yes, that is correct.
Ooh.
Okay, it is 2-1. Puya, you have the lead, but Paul is on your tail. So, the next anagram we have is Refuse Ye Idea. Refuse ye idea.
Yanni.
Yes. Booyah.
Oh, I don't know the answer.
Okay.
Kellen?
There's no. Okay. No, that's wrong.
What about
Paul? Do you have an answer for us?
What about Desiree?
Yes,
it is.
That is correct.
Yeah.
There's no K in refused ye idea.
Yeah, I said that and I'm like, wait, it's not Michael Jurger.
Yes, yes, right. Idea with a silent K. Okay.
Yeah, K is silent.
All right, our next anagram is Jello in Onrush. Jello in Onrush.
Laurel?
Yes.
Is it Laurel?
Yes. Oh, that is correct. For a brief second, I was like, okay, don't mess it up again. He's just buzzing in. But that is the
don't
correct
tell me
answer.
Right away. Right. Okay, good.
Okay. Our next anagram is Me, a Cheery Girl. Me, a Cheery Girl. Which describes me, a cheery girl.
A cheery girl.
Yes.
Me.
Yanni.
Laurel.
Yes. Oh, Puya, I heard him buzzing first.
Morgan Rickey.
That is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
Give me Michael Jurger.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I call that the Mike Bloom strategy. The first two rounds, I acted completely like I didn't want to win. And then now look at me now.
Look at you now. Maturing on Ghost Island to become a full-fledged competitor here on the RHAPB.
I've been maturing in this game to become a full-on Mike Bloom.
Mike Bloom. Okay. We have three left. Be sensational. Be sensational.
Yanni.
Yes, Booyah.
Sebastian Noel.
Yes, that is correct. Because he is truly sensational.
Yeah.
Okay, the next anagram is Jew Rid Bacon.
What the?
Jew. Rid
Yanni.
Bacon. Yes, Booyah.
I shouldn't have done that.
Oh.
It's Jenna Bowman.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Paul, you have a chance to steal.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Jew Rid Bacon.
Jew Rid Bacon. I am going to guess Angela Perkins.
That is incorrect. No. It was.
Can I get it? Can I guess again?
For no points, you may.
Sure.
Jacob Derwin.
Yes, it was Jacob Derwin, which is funny. Jew, rid bacon. Okay. So, Puya, this is the last question, and you have an opportunity to tie up the game. No pressure.
Okay. No pressure.
Okay. This last anagram is a dishpan reborn. A dishpan reborn.
A dishpan reborn.
Yes.
Yanni.
Yes, Puya.
Brendan Shapiro.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, no.
Oh man, now we got to go to the tiebreaker. Okay. Another acceptable anagram for Brendan Shapiro is hard boner pains.
That belongs on the BNB. I'm astounded that's not on there.
That's BNB material right there. Yeah.
Well, I figured I would be laughing too hard to actually say hard boner pains and then to have you two answer.
Oh, Liana,
so.
Liana,
you just did, though.
Much like Good. Ghost Island, you're learning.
I know. Yeah. Oh, it's cute.
Proud of you.
Okay, so yeah, it's a pity that hard boner pains was voted out so early in the season, but still, we have our tiebreaker. So, same rules apply, but this is a winner-take-all situation.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. New banjo, man. New banjo, man.
Laurel.
Yes, Paul.
Oh, no, I should have said that. Well, I'm glad I did say that, because...
How many seconds does he have?
Until Krampus decides he needs to stop.
I'm gonna have to give it to Yanni,
because okay, Yanni, what do you think?
Jenna Bowman.
Yes, that is correct. You can hear Paul. Some other ones I had for Bradley were beg here ladylike, or geeky label hider, or I leaked by her leg.
Oh my
God. Also B&B material.
Yeah, the rest were all just Bradley.
There should be an anagram after dark game with all of those ones. Yeah. Just saying.
Well, there were actually some really fun anagrams for some of the titles of the episodes this week as well. So for example, the sea slug slugger is gutless eagle shrug. Gotta risk it for the biscuit is sick out airtight frostbite, and my personal favorite, can you reverse the curse, is an anagram for search every uterus once.
Oh, that's my rule. Yes. No, it's Krampus's rule. Don't put that on me. But as you create these, Liana, do you like pull out your bananagram like Scrabble pieces, or you just do this like on a piece of paper, or what's your method for this?
Well, so I am not that clever. There are services online where you just enter in the letters and it tells you what the anagrams are. Like for example, I actually using gosh darn it, I should have taken credit for that. Yes, I write them all myself. I'm just a linguistics legend and I'm really good at anagrams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I made some anagrams for our names. So, Puya, you can make an anagram out of your name, either Vain Lad, Yip Kazoo, or my personal favorite, I Lazy Vodka Piano. I think I'm just gonna call you that from here on out, Lazy Vodka Piano.
Oh, yeah, lazy vodka piano.
Or just vodka piano for short. I don't know. Paul, you actually have a couple of really good ones. A sullen soap, or ooh, a soul planes, or my personal favorite, sensual opal.
Sensual opal.
Yes. So
what's your birthstone? Sensual opal.
Sensual opal. That's really how I should have opened the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the B&B. I'm here with Sensual Opal and I Lazy Vodka Piano.
You know, if I ever have to reinvent myself, like go by a new name and stuff, that's definitely what it's going to be.
I think that's a smart call.
I think everyone should tweet Paul Sensual Opal.
Sensual Opal.
No contest.
Oh my God, that's the name of your Survivor inspired scent that we came up with when we did our perfumes.
Yeah. I can see it now.
Unfortunately, my name has so many A's, it's really hard to make anagrams with my name. So the best one I could come up with, I totally came up with on the top of my head all by myself, was Iron Slab AAA. Which I like to think it's just Iron Slab.
So AAA.
Yeah, AAA Iron. I'm your host, AAA Iron Slab.
Yeah, if you ever do the Ninja Warrior podcast, you can go on as that.
Yes, that sounds like a great idea. Okay, so Sensual Opal, what do you have for discussion questions for us this week?
Well, I, Sensual Opal, have come up with a discussion question, and this was an idea that I was going to do some more research into and digging, and just didn't come to fruition this week. So I thought maybe we could just kind of talk about this. And what I want to talk about are these rewards, where we go to a local village in whatever country we're in, and the survivors are the ambassadors of goodwill, and they give out all their stuff to the locals, and they're all so grateful. So I want to talk a little bit about this specific one, how you guys think this one was, and then talk about other past favorite rewards like this nature. I will go ahead and say first, one disclaimer I have is that sometimes I get a little bit annoyed at the way these scenes are kind of put together to put this like idea out there that, oh, these Fijians, oh, poor these little Fijians, they just really need pool noodles and basketballs. It's like, okay, if you're gonna like actually you're trying to make an impact and you want to do some things, it's like, I don't think I like it. It didn't like these Fijians look like they are so happy and have such a good community and school. Like the fact that you're dumping off some pool noodles and basketballs, you're not Jesus here. So it kind of annoys me when they frame it like that. So what did you guys think of this reward?
Actually, I'm pretty sure that that's what Jesus brought. It was, you know, fish, bread, pool noodles. That was sort of part of the whole miracle and whatnot.
Volleyballs.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely think that my favorite one of all time was when Wu and Cass and Spencer all went, because just watching Cass and Spencer try to interact with the kids, and then Wu obviously is like having a great time. I think it can definitely provide for some awkward and really funny moments. It just felt a little, I don't know, forced maybe is the right word in this episode. Mm-hmm. That was kind of how I felt about it. Puya, what did you think?
Yeah, I kind of got the same vibe. And I have to say my favorite one also has to be that one. Not only for the awkward interactions, but I feel like Wu genuinely was having a good time and connecting. Whereas I didn't quite feel the same way here with these three. And I don't know, I was thinking about it and it's like, these kids, I'm assuming, are not watching Survivor, right? So, like, how do they hype them? They're like, listen, there's these three people coming, and they're on the show, and they're going to bring you balls, and they're going to bring you stuff to, like, float around in. Like, just be happy. Just be, like, are they hyping them up to hype them up? I don't know. But it did come across a little bit kind of, like, forced. And then, for me, it's always baffling. It's like, oh, we're bringing these kids joy, bring them this, and then we're going to feast in front of them. Like, I don't know if that makes sense either. I did enjoy, however, the interaction they had when they were asking the people that were sitting there with them, like, who do you think is going to win? Like, they know what game they're playing.
Yeah. Do the kids get the chicken also? And the cake? I don't know. That's a good question.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think there are some great ones from Survivor Past that come to mind. And for me, it's obviously the older ones that I remember. I think this whole tradition stems from Survivor Africa, when you have Lex going to the AIDS clinic and giving out. Well, there's the goat one, too, but that's more just about Ethan and Big Tom. But you have the final five where he's delivering all the medical supplies to the hospital clinic in Kenya. It's like, okay, that's like a legitimate, like, they were very grateful and needed more help with this. Like, that was a genuine act of charity, and it just has kind of evolved, like, kind of weird away from that. I also love in Vanuatu with the whole, when they have to bring the pig to the village, and they end up swapping the pigs, and they're supposed to take this other pig back, but they don't really want to do that, so they just kind of, like, leave it in the corner. Like, you kind of intentionally leave your go box at a restaurant when they're, like, bring you one, and you're, like, didn't think it was very good, so you have to kind of just discreetly forget it. That one was good. I love Shane smoking
I was gonna
Panama.
Say
yeah, those are some classics. So I think they're fine to have fun with this. I'm like, just don't force it on us that this village needs these survivors to dump off these toys for them. That's the only, like, gripe I have with it.
I just like that it was pool noodles. I don't know why I was like really obsessed, but they were also like bigger pool noodles than the normal ones that you find in the store. I don't know. I was very fixated on this concept. I think for me, the biggest thing is the universality of cameras, of like you put a camera in front of a bunch of people and they just like get excited, Puya, to your point of like, are they hyping them up? I think it's just like you get a group of people, you get a camera crew, everybody like, you know, you got the looky-loos, everybody's just looking to see what's going on, kids are excited. I don't know, Dominic looks like fun. He like might pick you up and carry you around like he was doing with those other kids. That looks like fun. But yeah, definitely a little heavy-handed. I thought it was funnier, I think, again, Puya, to go back to your point about the whole like who's gonna win.
Yeah, like and the lady was eyeing Dominic like he's got this, but I'm like, what does she think they're what are they doing? Like, does she think they're in like a steel cage match? Like, does she know it's Survivor? Is it a foot race? I don't know. Like, but she's eyeing Dominic.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they understand the concept. I had a one of my cousins actually works for the American Red Cross, and she was stationed in Fiji for a while. And I'm pretty sure she wasn't there to hand out pool noodles. I'll have to ask her about what supplies they were giving out.
That's not part of the Red Cross's mission?
Yeah, that's like, actually one of their tenants, part of their mission statement, to hand out pool noodles.
How many basketballs did you give them?
Right, exactly. Natalie, how many basketballs did you hand out? Okay, so Paul, you have a game for us, correct?
Ooh, I am up. I do. I actually have, Puya, you almost stole my thunder here earlier, because the first, I have two mini games for us here. The first mini game, I'm calling it Laurel or Donnie.
So
instead of Yanni, what we're going to do is, many people are speculating now that Laurel is going to end up being our losing finalist, which I hope personally is not the case, but it drew the comparison maybe to Don Meehan, a losing finalist, whose name conveniently sounds very similar to Yanni. So we're going to be playing a quick game of Laurel or Donnie. So here's how it's going to go. We're going to go down the line. Puya, then Liana. You each are going to get four questions. We'll go back and forth. The answer will either be Laurel or Donnie. So much like the video that, or the audio clip that's been circulating, you got to give us your first reactions. You can't dwell on it too long. Otherwise, you know, it's going to mess up the whole thing and you're going to think the other way around on this. So are you ready to play Laurel or Donnie?
Laurel.
Donnie.
Okay, let's begin. So, number one, Puya, who wrote in their bio that their hobby was blogging?
Donnie.
Correct. Huh? Liana, which one? They both used the word driven to describe themselves. Who said that they were focused?
Laurel.
Correct. 1-1. Puya, who said they'd play like Stephanie LaGrossa?
Donnie.
Correct. 2-1. Liana, whose pet peeve is brown grass?
Donnie.
Correct. We're 2-2. Puya, who was born in Pennsylvania?
Laurel.
Correct. We're 3-2. Liana, your chance to tie. They both voted for a woman at their first tribal council, then a man. Who voted for a woman in their third tribal council?
The Laurel?
Correct. We're 3-3. Moving into the last questions. Puya, who won individual immunity first?
Donnie.
Correct. Perfect score. Liana, who mentioned the word superfan who mentioned the word superfan as to why they'd win the game?
I've never been more nervous, but Laurel.
Correct. Perfect score. Nice job, you guys.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we've been possessed by the spirit of Ghost Island and we've been maturing on the B&B Island to somehow manage to actually answer all of the questions correctly.
That's got to be a B&B first.
Oh my God.
So either that's a nod to you two or a diss on whoever wrote this stupid thing. So.
No, definitely a nod to us. This is like Ghost Island. Our odds have improved.
Good. Yeah. Well, with that being a tie, then we don't need to worry about a tiebreaker, because I have a second mini quiz that's more pertinent to this specific episode. Now, did you guys see all of these hashtag fake Kellen videos going around?
Ooh, I saw like two of them.
I saw that Dalton Ross was tweeting about it.
Okay, so if you haven't checked this out, Dalton Ross posted an article on EW with these. You can also search the hashtag on Twitter called hashtag fake Kellen. And basically what it is fans and then also some former survivors from the season or survivors from the season chime in here. And they post these various videos around the topic of Kellen. And they mimic her mannerisms and they create situations and pretend how Kellen would react. So I have four questions here, two for each of you. Multiple choice quiz about what we saw from some of these videos.
I'm still real hyped up over that last game. Like I'm looking at my Fitbit right now and my pulse is higher than it should be for simply sitting down talking on podcast. So can I just say,
we'll start with Puya as you calm down. It's the first time Liana swept a game, so let's give it to her.
I know.
So you take a breather, Liana. We're gonna start with Puya.
You got this.
Are you calm, Puya?
I'm ready.
All right. So Puya, first question I have from you. Brendan from this season created a fake Kellen video with his son, Will, who tempts fake Kellen with all the fixins. What does fake Propes tease fake Kellen with, which prompts fake Kellen to demand, I want them now?
Okay.
And your choices are A, burgers, B, sandwiches, C, margaritas, or D, cold Survivor pizza.
It's burgers. Burgers.
You are correct. Is this one of the videos you were able to catch?
This is one of two I saw. Yes.
Come on, lazy vodka piano.
Great. Vodka piano. All right, Liana, are you breathing? Are you calm?
Yeah. Thanks, Sensual Opal. I'm ready. Sweaty.
All right, Liana, number two. The two Survivor fans, including our own Jessica Frey, submitted videos with Kellen's take on what mundane daily activity? A, parking, B, shopping, C, going to the bathroom, or D, answering the phone?
I'm going to go D, answering the phone.
That was a good guess, but unfortunately, they both talked about parking.
Oh, well, we knew that my reign had to come to an end one day.
And kind of the joke of at least this one fan who submitted it was that he's trying to park and someone's in his spot. And he's like, they took this parking opportunity away from other people and I want to park here now. So it was pretty funny.
The parking alliance should stay strong or whatever, like Navidi strong, but it's like parking strong.
Yeah. And then Jessica Frey had like a 2-minute rant about parking and stuff. And very interesting. Shout out to Jessica Frey. All right. So for the second question you each will answer, to make it a little bit more complicated, we're going to go Twish style on this. So you have an option to get up to 2 points here. You can answer the question without the multiple choice. So that could give you 2 points. Or now I'm trying to like figure out, you know, how easy it is to understand all of Jordan Kalish's rules on things. So I want to make sure I get this right here. So then if you ask for the multiple choice and you get it right, you get a point. But if you get it wrong, the other person can steal. Does that sound right?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Sure. Just do what you do with when you're on with Jordan. You say, sure, cool, got it. So, all right, Puya, I was going to try to make this a clean sweep. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So Michael and Dominic actually made a video reenacting a scene from the season with Michael as the hashtag fake Kellen. Yes. Which Ghost Islander makes a surprise appearance at the end of the video?
Laurel, Yanni.
I'm buzzing in.
I watched two videos. This was the other, and it was James Lim.
You are correct. Good job, Puya, on watching the two videos. It's also my fault here. I should have switched up the two, so you got one that was like, I think those probably were the two most.
Well, see, Paul, the mistake here was Liana, because if she wasn't nervous, I wouldn't have gone first. I wouldn't have gotten those two questions.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So Liana
played herself.
You pulled a Mike Bloom, sabotaged yourself, Liana.
Well, self-sabotage. That's very
all right. So 2 points. So Puya, you will win no matter what with a perfect score. Liana, let's see if you can finish strong or end like a Mike Bloom prediction. Number four. Which RHAP contributor made an awesome hashtag fake Chelsea video? Was it A, Jessica Frey? B, Will from America, C, Adam Rita, or D, Shut Up Tim?
What? How did I not see this?
This is featured on Dalton Russ's article.
Liana, go with your gut.
So, RHAP, if you think Liana cares about you, think again.
Yeah, no, seriously, clearly. I didn't search every uterus once. Okay, wait, can you, what
That's
were my options?
Rule.
Oh, wait, don't I get a chance to answer if I don't hear the multiple choice, even though I already heard the multiple choice? Can I still?
Well, you can, oh, wait, I didn't give you the option, did I? But you didn't know, so you would have asked for it, right?
First of all, how dare you? I pulled a Slumdog Millionaire type situation, and I actually
I pulled the Jordan Kalish, just like violating my own rules.
Yeah, I feel like that's you should be disqualified.
All right, Leon, it's A, B, C, or D. Do you need to hear him again, or are you good to go?
Can I hear him again?
Yes, A, Jessica Frey, B, Will from America, C, Adam Rita, D, Shut Up Tim. Who made a hashtag fake Chelsea video?
Yeah, okay, all right. I'm gonna guess it's Will from America.
You are correct.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Congrats.
Okay.
Yes, it's a video of Will drinking a pop from, what's he drinking from? A Chick-fil-A drink in his car, and he's just blinking. And that's it. And it's like 2 minutes long.
That's classic. That's fantastic.
Okay. All right, well, that ends my game. You both should be proud of yourself, and especially congrats to Puya for taking home the win on this one.
Thank you. I feel like the other two appearances were to get me here and finally get a win over Liana. I'm very happy with the results.
That's right. Started from the bottom. Now you are here.
Now we're here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I think Paul should be disqualified based on him reading the answers. So I think
Liana, I really wasn't playing in the game. So you can disqualify me and Puya still wins. So
yeah.
Okay.
Consider
well,
myself disqualified.
I tried. Okay. So I guess the one thing that I can't stop thinking about is the fact that, so we have this situation where Wendell actually doesn't call for the puzzle win, right? So this is during the immunity challenge. He gets the slide puzzle done. We can see on the tape he finishes it before Laurel, but he doesn't call over Jeff Probst. So I feel like it's pretty well settled and established. Maybe you two disagree, but like the puzzle isn't done till you call it.
Right.
But I guess I was thinking about if Wendell would have fought the ruling if someone else had won immunity. Like, let's say it had been Kellen or Donathan that had won immunity. Do we think that Wendell then would have actually sort of fought this ruling?
Yes, I think definitely had it been anyone aside from Laurel or Dominic, he would have probably combated it, especially considering the fact that he had been done. He would have said that wasn't in the rules. I feel like it's kind of like that terms and conditions situation. He would have definitely fought for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I guess in my opinion, it's like, it seems like they really were considering, do we vote off Kellen or do we vote off Donathan this episode? So I feel like if it's, you know, even if one of those two win, it's like, do I really want to ruffle big feathers on this? I don't know. I feel like he's chill enough that he would not have pressed the issue that hard, given the current situation in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting because I can see both of your points, because part of me is like, well, they had a really in my mind, I feel like Dominic and Wendell have a really clear plan for how they want the final 7-6-5-4, you know, to play out. And Kellen really was the person who had to go in this situation. So if Kellen was going to win immunity, oh, well, yeah, of course, Wendell would have fought the ruling. But I also feel like Wendell and Dominic are just in such control of this game that it feels like sometimes they're just like, yeah, whatever, we're going to make the final two. We're just going to vote out these other people. It doesn't really matter the order. So I guess I can see it from both sides.
Yeah, well, like my thing is, and I have to say, like, Paul, I kind of agree with you, like, Wendell's definitely showed to be a calm guy, an understanding guy. Social game has been very, very, you know, positive all to this point. But I have to go back to the moment where, like, Laurel's one of his closest people, and he still has to correct Laurel and say, yes, I 100% finished before you, but I didn't call, so you get the win, so technically it's all fair. Like, he has to go out of his way to make sure she knows that he would have won. So I feel like in that moment, adrenaline is booming. You're getting there. You just did this bridge and then you made it your way up and then you got the slide puzzle done. He wants that credit, even though he's not going to win it. He's going to concede to Laurel. So I feel like anyone else outside of that alliance wins, he's going to at least fight for it a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just, you sort of have to think about where your social standing is and whether or not, you know, what are the ramifications if you really try to push this? And I guess also you're kind of trying to like sense out Jeff Probst, like you're playing Jeff Probst, like, so I'm like an alpha male kind of like, you're going to let me have this if I really want it.
I'm your winner pick from the preseason, boy.
That's right. Yes. That's when you play the I'm your winner pick card.
Yeah. And like, I think back to another scene earlier when Jeff's like, Wendell got two parts of the step done. And you see Wendell say it was three probes. Like,
yeah, I've really been appreciating Wendell and some of his like really sort of subtle clapbacks that you don't really notice. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it would have been really interesting to see if it had been a different situation. I mean, Laurel is somebody who's like, you know, his second, right, sort of in command, not command.
Right.
Because, you know, but okay. Well, that brings us to our final segment of this week, and that is the question of the week. So you have submitted your answers to us, and we're going to talk about a few of them in response to the question, if you were on Survivor, what type of edit would you want to get? So there were some really fun answers to this. I had to cut some of them down because some of them were really long. But we'll start by going through some of these. So Tom Coleman writes in, my ideal Survivor edit is to be the purplest. While initially cast as a likable villain, my actual goal is to antagonize Jeff, which leads him to demanding any and all trace of me be cut out of the show. My name isn't even mentioned until my boot episode. Like my idol JP, I have no leaving remarks.
Why would you want that?
I don't know. But Tom Coleman had a really well written out sort of Mike Bloom-esque fan fiction about Survivor.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. We don't want to hear about your Simpsons. We don't care. Keep it short. Mike's not here. Save it for next week.
Yeah, right one for Mike for next week. Okay, Cody Williams wrote in, I'll take the quote, finds a fake hidden immunity idol and plays it for himself and then gets voted out as the jury laughs, end quote, edit please. At least I'll be remembered for something and maybe I'll get a shout out on Ghost Island too.
A lot of self-deprecation coming in from these answers, but I do respect it because like everyone gets a laugh, the audience enjoys it. It's like you're sacrificing yourself for the greater good and maybe you'll get featured on another season. So I like it.
Right. I think I just like the idea of getting a shout out on Ghost Island 2. Like that's your plan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when Ghost Island 2 Baby Edition Blood versus Water comes out, then we'll see Cody Williams featured prominently. Okay. So the Looney One wrote in and said, I would prefer a generally under the radar edit, but with a bunch of funny, kind of goofy and very quotable one liners, something along the lines of such greats as Greg Buis, Danger Dave Ball and Tarzan. Just funny and memorable enough to earn myself a mid to upper tier entry in the fabled Funny 115.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I thought that was good. That actually, honestly, I think one of my favorite Survivor moments is from Danger Dave Ball when he's talking about it. What's your sport? Like making love's my sport.
Making love is my sport.
How often do you play?
Do you play?
Not often enough. That always makes me laugh. Okay, Mike Bloom may not be here, but his spirit lives on. Mummy Gaga wrote, I want an edit that will guarantee if Mike Bloom was caught smiling and clapping when I got booted from the show, Puya will try to get revenge on Mike Bloom by building a time travel device to undo his sole win on the predictions game so far this season because of how I am now tied with Malcolm for being Puya's favorite contestant.
Really, really playing it right. I love that answer. I will never forgive Mike Bloom for that incident. I'm hoping that inevitably I see him live at a show and he's cheering on someone I don't like going out. Maybe that'll restore all order. But for now, he's still in the bad box.
What else is in the bad box?
That's a podcast for another day. Leon.
Oh, my.
That's like Survivor, like 48, like Survivor, the bad box. you saw what matured on Ghost Island. See what happens, what matures in here.
Well, maybe Michaela's vote, the vote for Michaela is in there somewhere. It's got like 50 names on it, whited out, rewritten, whited out. It's in the Survivor bad box.
What happens when the neutral box goes bad?
Oh, see, that's perfect. That's a tagline for the season. Ugh.
There we go.
Okay, that's fantastic. Somebody write that down. Okay. Final answer for the week is Parker Schimler, who writes in, I would want a Mark the Chicken edit. Ally with someone who will be so very loyal to never even think of turning on you to get anyone that thinks of cutting you out, and to be set free before the final tribal to be your own player. I just love this concept of Mark the Chicken, because I remember, because didn't Mark the Chicken get a spot on the
one
credits?
Of the intros?
Yeah, like one of the intro
credits.
Yeah. That was a thing. It happened. He also got a contestant $50,000.
Yeah.
So shout out to Mark the Chicken.
I mean, the true ally, right?
Yeah, the most selfless ally.
All right, so let's go around the horn and give our answers to the question of the week. Puya, what do you got for us?
All right, so I kind of feel like someone mentioned the one-liners and stuff. I obviously want that. I don't want to go with the obvious, like, you know, oh, I want to be the winner. No, we're not going to do that. I want to be the lovable nitwit, a la Keith Nail. I want people to have fun watching me. I want to make it far enough that there's a lot of content about me, but I also want to be goofy. I want to make people laugh, but I also want to get exposure, and not in the good way, not in the strategic way, but just in the, look at him, he's just having fun at this reward, or, oh, he's making a good point, but then he spits on the ground for no reason. That's what I want. I don't want to spit on the ground for no reason. I'm just saying Keith Nail did that. So I want to like follow that somehow.
Well, so then what is your transportation device of choice that you would be driving around and mispronounce the name of?
I feel like a scooter, and I could call it a scoot scoot.
Damn, should have gone with the pool noodle.
Well, then, like what's the word? A nude?
Oh no. That's what was the bad box? Survivor bad box.
Survivor, yeah, the nudes in the bad box. Yeah, to be unleashed.
Put the kids to bed and turn on Survivor Bad Box.
It's the after dark.
Next up.
Of the show.
Yeah, next
with
up.
New host Liana Boris.
Oh man, no nudes yet, but we'll
You're
see.
Just like holding a bottle of wine in the intro.
Yeah.
Like, you're all going to watch Survivor. It's fine.
With the jersey that says 69 on it.
Yeah. Tonight's episode, Anagrams After Dark.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It would be like 420 days, 69 contestants, one survivor.
We're bringing back all the contestants with naughty anagram names. Starting with boner, what was the boner one?
It was a hard boner pain.
They will now must refer to themselves as their naughty anagram name.
Oh, that's a great idea. All right, I'll be sure to write that one down as well. Okay, Paul, what did you have for your answer of the week?
So not that I necessarily would want to be anything like Tony in the game, but I think the edit that Tony gets is really the ideal way to go, because the show really is all about you, but the whole time no one believes that you're actually going to win. Like, I think it's you feel a little bit lame if you're like a survivor who wins and the whole show is about your how you're going to win, and everyone's like, oh, that was so obvious from the beginning. I think you want to be, at least for me, want to be someone who's really well recognized, well featured, but people don't see, well, how is he actually going to win? I don't see how it happens. So that when it does come together, it's like, it's a bit of a surprise at the end, but like a satisfying surprise, not like a what the hell surprise. So I think, I don't know exactly how that would look for me, but something like a Tony edit is my answer.
Yeah, I cannot. So I'm just picturing Tony and I just can't see you doing it. I guess it would be like, Paul, what do you think is the sort of the craziness that you would bring, I guess, that people would think like, oh, there's no way Paul can win. Like, are you running around like Krampus the whole time?
Yeah,
and they're just like, oh, there's no way.
My nickname is Krampus. I am making fun of people, like doing impressions of their voices, like offending people left and right like that.
Yep.
So people, you know, people are like, oh, what an a-hole. So
and somehow you manage to win.
Somehow people start talking. I just start mimicking them. I make fun of people when they perform well, bad at challenges, like when Liana and Mike are bad at the games.
How dare you?
Shade.
The shade of it all. So I was actually really inspired. The Looney Ones answer, the Funny 115 entry was one that I was thinking about, because I was trying to think, like, what specific Survivor contestant, whose edit would I want? And the first person that popped into my head was actually James Miller from Palau. And this is inspired by a Funny 115 entry about how essentially he's like the worst oracle in the history of ever, how every single prediction that he makes on the show is like immediately proven wrong. And I think that would be a really funny, just sort of bizarre, really subtle, fun edit to have, where I just make predictions and then they're essentially immediately shown to be wrong. I think that would be a lot of fun. I mean, but yeah, of course, like, who doesn't want the Rob G. Oddis or Strategic Mastermind edit? But in lieu of those, I will take the classic James Miller constantly wrong edit. Okay, so we have for our next question of the week, this was actually based off of Wendell and his at least somewhat dominance in the immunity challenge this week, where he is known to be a furniture builder maker person. And in the challenge, they had to assemble a bridge and build a ladder. So based on this, what is the ideal occupation if you're going to play Survivor? So I think there are a number of different ways to answer this question. Both joke and real answers, of course, are always appreciated. And you have a number of ways to reach out to us. You can either use the hashtag RHAPBNB, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B on Twitter. You can also respond to this post on the RHAP website or in the Patreon Facebook group. And if you have long form answers, you can, of course, always email us at rhapbnb@gmail.com. Also, that email address is really great if you have any game suggestions for us for the finale. So next week, Mike Bloom, who is on Twitter at @MikeBloomType, will be back for our finale coverage. And our special guest for the finale is actually going to be Shannon Gates, who has done a really fantastic job covering Survivor New Zealand for RHAP so far. So we'll see. I know Mike has been already eliminated mathematically from the predictions challenge, but we'll see how he can do maybe his own mini game version for this week. But thank you so much, Puya, for coming on and being with us this week. How can people reach out to you on social media?
People can reach out to me across all platforms at Puyaism, pretty much. I primarily use Twitter. Thank you guys for having me on. I always have fun at the BNB. I always love my stay. And if I can just make one suggestion for next week's episode with Shannon Gates, please have some kind of Matt Chisholm game in there for us Chisholm fans. The Chiz has really been a very bright spot for this season of Survivor New Zealand. So anyone who's also feeling withdrawals after this is done, go and watch New Zealand. It's been a good ride.
And I heard Survivor South Africa is actually also really good. I'll be hopefully digging into that soon.
Who has time for all this stuff?
Yeah, no, I know.
It's rough.
I know. but thank you, Paul, for coming on, of course, and being a solid rock as my co-host this week. How can people reach out to you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Paul Osselson. Pretty easy to find. I think my pinned tweet is still the picture of me in my Krampus shirt. So pretty recognizable.
Sticking with the theme. I like it. Very consistent. Of course, you can always follow me on social media at Liana Boris. I have been, of course, doing the RuPaul's Drag Race coverage with Mike Bloom and Brent Wolgamont, which is so much fun. And then I'm also going to be on the franchise this week talking about Jumanji, which I'm really stoked about. Of course, a special thanks to Will from America for not only apparently his amazing Chelsea impression, but also our wonderful theme song. Of course, Scott St. Pierre for putting all of this together, and Rob Sesternino, because dreams really do come true. So thank you all for listening.
Believe in yourself.
Believe. Yes,
too much Mike Bloom on your predictions.
Right. Yeah. Believe in yourself with the appropriate amount.
Asterisk. Yes.
Yeah.
That's actually going to be the new banner that we're going to put up at the BNB.
That was the part of the banner that got burnt off that people forget about.
Yeah, but not too much.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama. sounds cool. I can tell you the name.